Amen. We're thankful this afternoon to be back in the house of God. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. If you're visiting with us, you are a very honored guest of the audience, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We do believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's hill, shed his blood, and purchased his church. And if you obey him, you have to obey him by believing that with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and we'll baptize you tonight, this afternoon. For the remission of your sins, you contact the blood of Jesus. Sins will be washed away, receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, add you to the only church in the Bible. That's the Church of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This afternoon, we're looking at the great cloud of witnesses. We've been studying this. I think this is part two or three. I'm not sure. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 1 and chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says there, that we are compassed about.
With so great a cloud of witnesses.
This great cloud of witnesses. Coming out of chapter 11, the heroes of faith in chapter 11, this cloud of witnesses, we're compassed about. So great cloud of witnesses. And Paul, the Hebrew writer, is speaking as if we're on a track, Olympic game, and we're running to the finish line. And the finish line, at the finish line, is the author and finisher of our faith. So we're in a Christian race, and we have in the stadium all these different elders from the patriarchy and Mosaical dispensation of time. They were not Christians, but these are men and women of faith who are in the audience that made it. Amen. So, and then in chapter number 11, we go back over there. He said, and verse 1, it starts there, and it starts talking about this cloud of witnesses that we talked about there. He said, Hebrews 11 and 1, the Bible says there,
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
So what we're working on, I've been working on us, worked on faith this morning, working on faith in the afternoons, because faith is important, because if we don't have this faith, Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he says now, he said, what now? We walk by faith. I mean, he says, what now? Hebrews 11, 1.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for
and the evidence of things not seen. Now, he said, now, by it,
The elders
that I talk about are the patriarchy, Mosaical, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all them. And then he said, they retained the good report. Through faith,
we understand that the worlds were framed.
This is how we know we got a world. We believe, we never saw God hang the moon, but we believe it. The world were framed by the words of God.
So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Now he started listening to those who are in this that's compassed, that's circling us, that's looking down at us, running toward Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The first one we already looked at, verse number 4, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So what did he have that he need to offer up? Is to offer God your best. Verse number 3, that by faith Enoch was translated into that he should not see death,
and was found because God had translated him.
For before his translation,
he had a testimony.
What did he have?
God.
He's in the audience. He's saying, please God. Abel is saying, give God your best. Then verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Abel pleased God. Enoch pleased God. Then verse 7, by faith, Noah was warned of God of things not seen yet.
He moved
with fear, prepared an ark to the saving
of his house,
by which he condemned the world
and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith.
So, faith, Noah, he just built the ark the way God said do it. So, Abel gave God his best. Enoch pleased God. Noah, he just did it the way God said do it. Now, in verse 8, by faith,
Abraham.
This is the next one we talk about. Abraham, we call on him. Abraham stands up. He stands up in the audience. He's compassed about. Enoch done sat down. Abel sat down. Noah has sat back down. But now Abraham stands up. Abraham, when he was called
to go out into a place which he should receive an inheritance.
And notice what he did. He went to a place and he obeyed. He went out. Here's the key. Abraham did what God said do, not knowing
whether he went,
where he was going. And he was headed to a place. Verse number 8, he said, he went. When he was called, he went out to a place which after he received for an inheritance, obeyed.
And he went out.
And he went. So when God say do, we just do. Not knowing. You don't have to know the outcome. Because when men and women of faith, Abraham is standing up and saying to us, it don't matter. We shouldn't focus on outcome. We just do what God told us to do. That's what he's telling us to do. He went to a foreign country. Verse 8, he sojourned, verse 9,
in the land of promise, as a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles. Isaac and Jacob.
Notice who he had. He had others with him. Abraham, you hear about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But right now, he's talking about Abraham. He left and he took some people with him. Amen, somebody. So you see, when we are on this journey, all of us are on a journey trying to get to heaven. He was sojourning. That means it's a temporary dwelling place. He in a strange company. He just went to a place that was strange. It was all based on God making a promise to him. Abraham based his decision on faith in God's word. When God said move, Abraham moved. Abraham is standing up in the audience. He's saying just do what God say do. Don't worry about the outcome. Just go. Amen. That's what he's telling us. Verse number 10.
For he looked for a city which had foundations.
And now he's got. Now when you go, start looking. If God told you to do, just go and look for a city. He looked for a city which had foundations.
Whose builder and maker is God.
It's evident when God got his hands on something in your life, you will know it's God. You will know it's God. Abraham did not build a permanent house. He lived in tabernacles or tents because he was looking for something. He was looking for a city that had foundations that was based on what God's word said. All of us are looking for a city. We all know this old body is just a temporary tabernacle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse is number 1. Listen to the Bible. For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle were dissolved. Notice he said,
we have a building of God.
Not made
with hands. Eternal in the heavens.
Notice, this is why Highland Heights. While we walk by faith and not by sight, we obey God. We never give up. We keep fighting. We never quit because one day, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like Jacob, one day, understand that this world, y'all, is not our home. We just are passing through. That's all. We were just sojourners. This world's not our home. We just are passing through. Our treasures are laid up. We looking, y'all. We looking for a city. In Revelation chapter 21, John said he saw it. He saw it. Revelation 21 and verse number 2. And John said, I saw
the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven.
John said, I see it. This is what we're looking for, y'all. This holy city coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned
for her husband.
Read.
And I heard a great voice.
Behold,
the tabernacle.
Here it
is.
There's the tabernacle we want right there. This old tabernacle going to be resolved. There's a leak in the old tabernacle. We got to move. Y'all heard that song? There's a leak in the old tabernacle. We got to move. The tabernacle we're looking for is the tabernacle of God. He says, with men.
And
he would dwell in the place. See, the reason we're Christians and the reason we have to ask Abraham to stand up, Enoch to stand up, Abel to stand up, because we're looking. We're looking for that city. That city where we'll dwell with God, we shall be his people. God himself will be with them
and be their God.
And here it comes. He said, once we find it, once we get there, God
shall wipe away all tears
from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more doctors, no more hospitals, no more pills, no more bills, no more funeral homes, no more caskets, no more crying, no more pain in your joints, no more hip replacement, no more knee replacement, no more diabetes, no more heart diseases, no more nothing. Because we're looking. We're going to a city where it won't ever be no more pain, y'all. That's why we got to stay on the track. We got to run this race. We can't give up. We're just in a temporary body. It's a temporary dwelling place. And God has promised us just like he did Abraham.
Amen.
So then you say, well, Brother Brooks, if I look and I see the things of the world troubling me, what am I to do? Well, Abraham didn't see no. He didn't know. Faith ain't looking for an answer, like I talked about this morning. Faith ain't wanting. Faith is waiting. We waiting on God. And one day God gonna call our name. One day, God gonna say it's time. They're appointed unto man wants to die. It's appointed. The time gonna come when God will say, enough of that world. Enough pain. No more suffering. No more crying for you. You my child. It's time to stop sojourning. You found the place. I like that. Mm-hmm. It's like that. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. Abraham had a wife. Her name was Sarah. And Sarah going to have to stand up and talk to us too. To this afternoon. But Abraham stands. And God said to Abraham in Genesis 17. And in verse number 15. He says.
And God said unto Abraham.
Abraham.
As for Sarah thy wife.
Now Sarah.
Thou should not call her name Sarah.
And what I'm looking for this afternoon is some Sarahs in the room. Some Abrahams in the house that'll just move and be the man of God wants you to be. Abraham will just move and be the husband God wants you to be. Abraham that'll move and be the leader God wants you to be the elder God wants you to be the preacher God wants you to be. I'm looking for Abraham. Abraham stands up and men on the track. He's saying we can move, we can go, we got a place to go, we need to run. And we don't need to leave our wives behind. And Abraham, God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, as for Sarai, your wife. I will say to every brother here, Sarai, sometimes Sarai may be the weaker vessel, will be the weaker vessel in the relationship. But Abraham understands Sarai. Sarai needs to become Sarah. There's a Sarai who may not quite be what she needs to be spiritually, but if she got Abraham, he going to take her on to the promised land with him. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. You know, when you love your wife, amen, somebody. When a man love a woman, amen, he going to make sure her soul is protected. Amen. He going to take care of his wife. They join together as one. And God warns man that the woman is the weaker vessel. So he expects us to be Abraham's. Sometime our wife will be Sarah. He said, you will call her name.
But Sarah. Shall be. But Sarah
but
shall
now,
be her name.
Sarah shall be her name. And God is telling the man, Abraham, that I'm going to bless your wife. Amen, somebody. And I like that. When God can use the home, the head of the home. And bless the wife in the home. Some wife ought to say amen today. So I can get your man to become an Abraham. There's some blessings that come with being an Abraham. God said, because it's Abraham, I'm going to bless her. I'm going to bless your wife. And then he said,
I'm going to give your son of her.
Through her. And I'm going to bless her. I'm going to bless her. That's what God said. And she shall be
a mother of nations.
A mother of nations. And
kings
of people shall be of her. And Abraham
fell upon his face.
Abraham, the man of God, fell down before God
and
fell
laughed,
on his face
and laughed.
And inside he said, how this gonna be? And laughed, he laughed and said in his mind,
shall a child
in the world,
shall a child be born unto him that is in 100 years
I
old?
I don't get it. How in the world, God, gonna give me a child and I'm 100 years old? And Sarah in the world, he was 1 year older than his wife, obviously, because she was 99.
And shall Sarah, that is 90 years
now,
old.
Now, then you got them cougars. They 10, 15 years older than the man, but anyway. I don't know, age thing. I thought that was pretty. Yeah. Thought I'd say something like that. Yeah. 1 year difference. Watch this, though. God and Abraham laughed. Like I said, in his heart of heart, he said, how that's going to be? Y'all ever thought about something like that? Like, you know, when you get old, things don't, you know. Why you drop your head, man? He's like, I don't know, bro. Brother drops his ear like, man, Brother Rick, don't talk to me about that. That's a bad thought, ain't it? Y'all grown. Drop down to verse 11. And Abraham, drop down to verse 11. Watch God work with this old man.
11?
Watch what God, it's so funny, our Sam, you know, God can work some things for the Sams. You know, you ain't out of the game. Because you're old. And he said, now, Abraham
said unto
and
God.
Sarah. Now, verse 11. And Abraham, now, 18, 11. 18, 11, where I want to be. Okay. Now, Abraham, go 18, 11. I'm sorry. Okay. Abraham and Sarah, I'm just trying to work through what happened, were old.
And well stricken in age.
Yeah, they stricken. We mean stricken means there's some things can't be in age. Right? And it ceased to be
with Sarah
it's
after
with
the
Sarah,
manner of women.
Ceased to be with after manner, you know, young women and old women. There's different body changes and things like that. And, you know, so therefore Sarah knew that she wasn't a young woman. And then the Bible said, therefore Sarah,
laughed.
Now she goes, she did. Now, a lot of people talk about Sarah laughed, but Abraham had laughed too. So he laughed in his mind, saying, man, how this going to be? And then Sarah laughed within herself. But see, after, she said, now she said to herself, now, after I am
waxed old.
I'm old. I'm an old woman.
Shall I have pleasure?
Now, that's a good thing right there. That, you know, it's pleasure being young and having a man and a woman, you know, to make babies. Pleasure comes with that, right? So she said, that's in your Bible, right? You say pleasure, right? Mm-hmm. She had pleasure.
My Lord being old also.
Now, I like that part about she called him Lord. I kind of like that. Don't you like that? How many of you brothers like that Lord part? Them women puffing up right now. I ain't no Sarah. Well, that's the problem. Man, I ain't no Sarah. Yeah. Well, Sarah did it. Yeah, yeah. I used to ask Sharon, say, am I your Lord? She wouldn't say nothing. How many of your sisters call your husband your Lord? I can't hear you.
Amen.
You got a couple of amens in the house. Most of them be quiet. We better leave that alone, man. Huh? Let's get back to this point. She said, my Lord, being, see, I have pleasure, my Lord, being, she said, I'm old and Abraham old. And the Lord talks back, he didn't talk to her, he talked to Abraham, he talked to the head. He said, now, the Lord said, Abraham, why
wherefore did Sarah laugh?
What's she laughing about?
Saying.
See, God knows what's going there. So a little cloud of doubt went through her mind, like, man, I'm old, he old, I ain't no, you know, it's what they say, snow on the chimney, on the roof, and fire in the Ain't they, don't they say something like that? Like, old folks say, you know, I know I got snow on the roof, but fire in the, still in the, ain't no fire in no chimney. You got snow on the roof and cold coals. We want to act like you still got it going on. Old man, ain't doing nothing but looking. That's what's wrong. Some of these old men walk around looking at women still. You know, you don't got to, man, you got snow up there and cold stuff in the gym. Ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing happening. All you got is some Roman eyes. You know, amen. You got a Roman eye, isn't that right? Run too old to be looking. Y'all stop looking. But yeah, I understand. Come on here and see that. Let me move on, okay? I was getting ready to melt it. But so God goes, as Abraham said,
shall I of a surety bear a child?
Now she laughed, which am like, old? I can't do this. Shall I surely bear a child which am old? And God come back and asked Abraham a question. He said, is anything
too hard for the Lord?
Too hard for God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? God said, at the appointed time,
I'm
coming back
to
you, Abraham. God ain't going to go back on his promise. He already promised Abraham he's going to give him that child. I'm coming back to you according to the time of life.
And Sarah
even though she laughed, Sarah going to have a son. Because God had already promised you that. So Sarah's laugh wasn't going to stop God from going back on his promise. So God is going to make a promise, and God is going to keep it. God cannot lie. He's not going back on his promise. But Sarah in her heart is thinking, how in the world as two old people are we going to have a child? And so sometimes in life there's a little doubt may come into your life, but it didn't stop her from being in the heroes of faith, because she recovered. So maybe there's a Sarah here today. You lonely because you need a husband, but you just don't have one. Sarah, I got a question for you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe there's a Sarah in here. You got a husband, but he has no interest in you no more. You have a husband who don't treat you right no more. You have a husband who wasn't good to you before. But I want to ask you, Sarah, is there anything too hard for God? Men can change. They can be better. You guys got a Sarah in here. You get up every Sunday. It's just you and the children coming to worship. You about to give up on your old man. But I got a question for you, Sarah. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? You giving up. It's just you and them kids. You trying to make it. You don't know how you're going to make it. You tried God. You have been worshiped, but things ain't getting better at home. But I want to ask you a question, Sarah. Is anything too hard for God? You said, Brother Brooks, he cheated on me. Brother Brooks, he did this to me. He was abusive. He was verbal. He didn't treat me right. He was never there for me. He didn't take care of me when we were young in our marriage. But I'm asking you, Sarah, a question. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Are you laughing on the inside? Saying he ain't gonna be the man that I want him to be. He ain't gonna be the husband that I want him to be. He ain't gonna be the provider that he want him to be. He might not ever be a CEO. He might not be a president of a company. He may not be a VP. He may never be a millionaire. But he might be a good dick digger that bring home food, bring home money, bring home food. He can be somebody. But Sarah, my question ain't about him. My question is about you and your faith in God. Is anything too hard for God? Where I got it. I was asking Sarah tonight, this afternoon, no matter what you're going through, Sarah, you got things going on in your life, and we know this in the church, women outnumber the men. Amen. They outnumber. A lot of times our sisters are all alone. Many of them are suffering in marriages, suffering at home, suffering in their lives, coming in here looking good on our side. But inside they laughing like, it's, I ain't gonna ever get no better for me. My home ain't gonna never get no better. My situation's no better. This man ain't gonna never marry me. This man ain't gonna never take care of me. I'm trying to get you to say something, though. I'm trying to say to you that you got to be a Sarah. Sarah stood up in the audience. She stood up. She's standing up now. You on the track, sister. Your man can change. He can be better. Sister, you can get your husband. You can get it. You just be Sarah. Just make sure. Maybe you're just laughing a little too much. Maybe you just need to think about this thing. Maybe you just need to be more spiritual. Maybe God holding your blessing back because you're laughing a little too much. You got to think about, well, yes, Sarah, in your life, Sarah, maybe your faith ain't where God wanted to be yet, Sarah. You're looking for a way out, Sarah. But Sarah, question I got, is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at what God did for Abraham's wife. In chapter 21, he says, and the Lord visited Sarah.
As he had said.
God gonna do what he said he gonna do. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Notice what it is. And Sarah conceived, bore Abraham a son in his old age. And at the time set, God said, when I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him from Sarah, born to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac being 8 days old, as God has commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And I'm telling y'all that what I'm saying to you all is there a good man and a good spiritual man in your life can make up for some of the difference for the weaker vessel. If you don't remember what I said, Brother Stroud, 1 Peter, I think it is, chapter 2. I want that verse right. You know, your prayers can be hindered. Understand this. Give me that scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3. Is that right, Brother Stroud? Verse what? 3:7. Give me that one. Give me that one. Let's go over there real quick. I just want to throw this one in here because I need to talk about this just real quick. I'm going to get y'all out of here on early today. But I didn't get to finish this sermon last time. But I'm all right today. Look at this. Listen, I want you to 1 Peter what? 3:7. That's the one I want. Yeah, look at this. Look at this.
Likewise,
you husbands be in subjection
with them according to knowledge.
Now he said, watch this. He said, husband, you dwell with them according to knowledge. And go back up to verse number 5. Because I got to deal with Sarah. Because Sarah wants blessings. But Sarah wants blessings her way. But God put a way in place. And he says, For after this man in old time, she was a holy woman. Also, you got to be holy, sister.
Trusted in God.
Trust God, sister.
Adorn
yourself. Being subjection to your own husband, Sarah. And even just like Sarah obeyed. You don't even want to read it. You ought to want to read it because Desiree got to obey you.
Even as Sarah obeyed
you
Abraham.
You should have read that before. You should have, even as Desiree obeyed. Where she at? She going to help me along here. Desiree, she got to deal with this scripture. She got to deal with it. He obeyed Abraham, calling him what? Now I want y'all to tell you something now. Here's the thing about being there. That's not Lord, like I'm your head, I'm going to punch you. That's like your leader. Your leader. And as long as he's leading you in the spiritual direction and you follow, he following God, you can follow him. Amen. That's right. That's right. But this, that ain't the part I want, because the sisters don't like that Lord part. But then he says,
whose daughters ye are.
You are, as long as you do well. You are daughter. As long as you do well, not afraid with any man.
Likewise,
ye husbands. Here come the Abrahams. Abraham, likewise, dwell you
with them according husband, to knowledge.
Dwell with that wife according to knowledge. You got to know your wife. giving honor unto the wife. He said, I like she are to obey you. You are to honor, respect, cherish, tenderly, with honor. The reason she don't call you Lord is because you haven't treated her with honor. See, these go together. And when you honor her, and you honor her at a certain state unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel than Abraham. And being heirs together of greatness. Here come the punch. If you can't honor your wife, your prayer
be not hindered.
Be hindered. I'm just trying to see if I got Abraham in the house. See, some of y'all sleeping in different bedrooms and stuff. I want to say to those two Christians, that's neither honor nor is it respect. Two married people should not be divorced in their own home and walk in here like you okay. God hates divorce. And there are Christians who sleep in separate beds because they are not spiritual Abrahams and Sarahs. Y'all don't want this, I know. But I would say to those two Christians, the only thing between you and that woman in that bed, your wife, should be, if you had, like me and Sharon had, we had these two beds. I hated that thing. I hate that bed. That thing would lift up like that one. I'd be down like that looking up. Hey, baby. Well, I couldn't stand. I hate that bed. I don't throw it away now. She tilted up, but she'd be way up here. And I'd be laying flat because I had a bad back. Hey, Sharon. Hey, Tom. It's me. I felt like I was separated in the bed, man. And then some of y'all run way over in the other room. How do you do that and say you love each other? I think there needs to be a reconciliation in a case like that. You need to come back and get spiritual counseling because neither one of you are thinking spiritual. You let one of you die, you'll wish you hadn't have done it. Yeah, you'd wish you hadn't done that. I would just encourage everybody. This kind of stuff is not men and women of faith type of behavior. You, that husband, that wife need to come together and talk about what's causing y'all differences and resolve them. Resolve them. And they quiet right now, and he's sitting right by you. He know he's sleeping in another room, and you doing it too, and y'all hardly talking in the house. Y'all riding in the same car, barely can't stand each other. And then both of you think you're going to heaven. No. You said, well, brother, just because we're sleeping, that don't mean we're not going to heaven. I just said you're not being spiritual. You know what I'm talking about. It's something dividing y'all in that house. God is not the author of confusion. He don't separate men and women. He expects the husband to love the wife, even as Christ also loved the church. Which means he died for the church. And it don't matter, sister, how bad he was. Everybody deserves a second chance. Yeah, everybody. You ain't been all that in a bag of chips. Sometimes we just want to put it all on the man. Now, what have you done? You got to have a Sarah, too. You can't have just an Abraham. You got to have a Sarah who's spiritual. I'm going to show you how I know Sarah's spiritual. Go to Hebrew 11, back over there. Hebrew 11, 11. She had the baby, but go back over. She recovered. She may have had a little slight of doubt going through her head, but in the Hebrew writer clears it up for us. Somebody say, well, she didn't have faith. That ain't what the Bible say. Verse 11 say, through faith
also Sarah.
Also Abraham, Sarah herself
received
no,
strength.
God will give you strength, sister. You can be spiritual. And to conceive seed, it was delivered of a child.
When she was in past age.
She left. And here's why. Because
she judged
God faithful.
who had promised.
She still was spiritual. Even though she couldn't see how in the world God gonna put that old man and me together with our bodies being like, I don't see that. I don't see why anybody got to jump on Sarah about that. Because I can't see it either. You? Huh? Why you can't say? You got the mic, man. You can agree with me. Can you see that? How can you see? Two old, let me go to the Sam. Can y'all see that, Sam? It don't surprise me to say, how in the world is that going to work? Huh? Brother say, man, it got to be a miracle when you get too old. He knows it's a miracle to happen. He said, he said, oh, Lord, there is miracles. Yeah. Okay, bro, I get you. It's going to take a miracle. Brother Clark said, it's going to take a miracle. Okay, Brother Clark. All right. Yeah, I guess that was a miracle, though, in sin. Where was I at? Clark missing one.
Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed.
But she bounced back, y'all. Sometimes you can feel like you kind of don't know what God going to do. But that don't mean you lost all your faith, right? And so the Bible says that she received strength to conceive
seed.
The seed.
And was delivered of a child when she was past age.
Yes, she did it, huh?
Because she judged him faithful who had promised.
So what did Sarah do?
Judged him.
She judged God. In her heart, she knew God would be faithful to his promise. She just didn't know how it was going to happen. So let's not be so hard on her. And then verse 13, let's just close it out here. Through faith, they all died. How?
In faith.
Having received the promises.
Having seen them afar off
and were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. And that's us, y'all. Verse 14, for they declare plainly, they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out, they may have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, the heavenly, where God is not ashamed to call their God, for he has prepared for them
a city.
To die in faith is to die believing, and one day you're going to heaven. To die in faith is to die believing, and one day there's going to be a place to rest. To die in faith is to die believing, one day there'll be no more reasons to cry. To die believing is to die believing, one day God will wipe away our tears. To die in faith is to die believing, we got to dwell with God one day. To die in faith is to die believing. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. To die in faith is to die believing that God will be there and he'll wipe away all tears from that. I don't know about y'all, but I want to die in faith. Amen. I want to die in faith. I want to be like Abraham. Hmm. I want to be like Enoch and Abel. Enoch and others I talked about. I want to be like Sarah. How many of you sisters want to be like Sarah? See, all the part, you say, I want to be like Sarah, brother. Just the Lord part I can't do. Yeah, you can. You can. Because spiritual women can understand that God blessed you when he gave you a head, the head of the home. He blessed you when you got a good husband. See, sisters, count your blessings when you got a good husband. I would say to the Sarahs, give them another chance to be better. I would say to Sarah, make sure you better, Sarah. Make sure you be the Sarah of the Bible, a spiritual woman. I would say to the Abrahams of the audience, if we ask you to stand up in the audience, could you be like Abraham and stand up and say, you know what? God told me to go, and I just went. Not knowing where I was going. I walked by faith and not by sight. I hope you enjoyed the lesson tonight. We're compassed about, y'all, for all these clouds of witnesses. There's more to come, but we all can learn from them. Keep God first. Give him your best. Obey his word. Do what he says. Keep looking unto the author and finisher of your faith. And in the end, you'll die in faith, and then you'll get to see all the promises God made. The street is gold, and the walls are jasper. God gave all us a chance when he gave his son. He gave the best, didn't he? When he gave his son came from heaven's glory, took off his robe of divinity, put on a robe of humanity, walked among men, did miracles, however the last days of his life. 24 hours he became a death row inmate that had never done nothing wrong. There was no guile found in his mouth. Yet he would lay as a sheep to the slaughter. And for his shears dumb, he would open not his mouth. And there, that Savior hung on the cross. He hung there with nails in his hands and in his feet. Why? Why? Because he had to go to the finish line. He had to go all the way. He could not be the author and finisher of our faith if he didn't make it. He went through it. He walked by faith. Revelation 14, 12. It was the faith of Christ. He kept journeying to the end, all the way up to Calvary's hill. And then when they buried him in the tomb, he resurrected with all power. He had finished. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. And y'all, he finished. Now we got to finish. We got to finish. We got to do what? We got to finish. And the only way we can finish is stay on the course, keep looking at Jesus, listen to Abraham, listen to Enoch, listen to Abel, and when we get there, listen to Sarah, and then one day we too will be in the stand. And we'll be that great cloud of witnesses, see? It was tough, but we made it, y'all. We made it. You know how we sing that song? We want to make it one day. We want to make it one day. When we get there, we don't. How beautiful heaven must be. We read of a place that's called heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Must be. Can you sing that song? I think I like that one for invitation. Y'all know that song? Let's sing How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, know Jesus gave his blood, shed his blood. Believe, I told you at the beginning, you're hearing that gospel, the whole gospel story that I just talked about, Acts 15, 7. Believe that with all of your heart. How he, that death, burial, and resurrection story. The suffering Savior on the cross. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess him tonight before God. If you don't, this afternoon before God, if you don't confess him, you're going to die in your sin. The sin unto death is the one you never repent of. Brother and sister, people are dying every day. If you're in this audience, you understand what I'm saying. You need to believe at some point in your life that your life, your number going to get called. And if it get called and you wasn't baptized, you didn't obey God, you cannot go to heaven. Amen. You can't go to heaven. You're going to have to obey him. And you do that by being, you confessing before a man that you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and we'll baptize you this evening, this afternoon. We'll baptize you for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. And then you can be there when we get there. I'm trying to get there. I don't know about you, but I'm trying my best to get to heaven because I know it must be a beautiful place. And you guys, when we get there, I want to see that place. I done read about it, so I want to see it. But I want to see that place. But that place got to be a beautiful place. If you need prayer, I don't know, you just need prayer. Now, I want you to come if you need prayer. If you need to make confession, come. If you want to get baptized, come. You're just feeling weak and down. Come on up here and let us pray with you tonight. We want you to know this because one day we're going to get to that place and we're going to be there. How beautiful heaven may be. Just won't you come as good as we stand, sing the song of encouragement. That's good enough.